Hey there. Thanks for tuning in to the Embodied Astrology Podcast. I'm Renee Sills, consulting astrologer, somatic practitioner, and embodiment educator. Your Pisces season horoscope is an excerpt from your 2024 year ahead reading. These readings are deep dives into the major themes and influences of the year for your sun, moon, and rising signs. Purchase yours today from the link in our show notes. Registration is now open for Embodied Astrology's 2024 and 2025 programming. Our curriculum starts with the astrological new year and Aries season equinox. Join us for a life-changing journey of experiential astrology where you'll deepen your understanding of chart reading, symbolism, intuition, and divination, craft creative containers and support your artistic practice through working with your own chart and current transits, learn how to apply astrology for conflict transformation and repair, and take part in exciting, inspiring conversations with astrologers, artists, activists, and others working in the intersections of mysticism and social change, and so much more. Follow the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com to learn more. Now, on to your horoscope. After Aquarius season, we arrive in Pisces season. Pisces season begins on February 18th. It ends on March 19th. The first week or so of Pisces season, we have a lot of carryover from Aquarius season. So the themes that I was talking about in Aquarius season, particularly when it comes to relational growth in the direction of new life plans, future ventures, etc., are really big themes as we enter into Pisces season. I want to make a notable mention of the conjunction of Venus and Mars in Aquarius on February 21st. This is, I think, quite a supportive aspect for working with others in shared ventures and collaboration towards some kind of future goals. Now, this aspect also requires clarification of terms and agreements. It is important that you are working in relationships and your attitudes towards relationships and also with the individuals and communities that you are relating with. It is really important that you are working in ways that uplift your intention for growth right now. You want to go somewhere with other people. And who you are hanging out with and how you're spending your time can support or detract from where it is that you want to go. And so this is an important season to pay attention to how you feel in relationship and how the feelings of your relationships get translated into the ways that you are working or trying to work in the world, and how the feelings of your relationships also affect your experiences of feeling resourced, where you are directing your time, energy, attention, money, and other material resources is definitely a focal point in Pisces season. So as the sun enters Pisces, it is entering a place in your chart called the solar eighth house. The eighth house is a very mysterious and powerful place. This is a place of death, dying, and rebirth. The eighth house is a place that one of my astrology teachers called the altar. And she talked about how when we engage eighth house material, we engage the occult. We engage our own energy and capacity for magic. We work with alchemy. We work with transformation of energy. And in psychological astrology, the eighth house has a lot to do with our psyches and psychologies. It is related with the notion of shared resources or your partner's resources. It's a place that is definitely connected with debts and inheritances, as well as all the stuff that you might share with other people, like time and space and money and power. So when we are working with Pisces, we are working with an archetypal energetic pattern that is highly sensitive, deeply emotional, and really connects with a kind of pervasive emotional atmosphere, like vibes, in a place in your chart that brings us into shared spaces, intimacies, vulnerability, deep bonds, and the psyche, your psychology, and the psychology of others. Because, you know, if you're sharing stuff with people, everybody's psychology is involved. And also with your potential to be an alchemist, to be an energy magician in your own life and in your relational experiences. As the sun moves into Pisces, it is also moving into a place that has been tenanted or occupied for quite a while by another outer planet. And so in previous seasons, I talked about Pluto, and Pluto is an outer planet. Its orbit is over 200 years. And Neptune is another outer planet. And Neptune, like Pluto, has an orbital period that is longer than a human lifespan. It takes longer for Neptune to orbit around the sun than you will stay alive. I'm not remembering in the moment. I think it's 140-something or 160-something years. Neptune has been in Pisces since 2011, and in 2025, it will start to make its way out of Pisces. Neptune is considered to be the modern ruler of Pisces, and its influences and energies are somewhat similar. So those key words that I dropped a moment ago about Pisces: sensitive, diffuse, pervasive emotional atmosphere, vibes, very Neptunian as well. Qualities of Neptune are dissolving and disseminating. They make what is solid become unreal. When we are working with Neptune transits, we're working with slippery substance. We're working with our own fogginess and confusion and unreality, experiences of unreality. Neptune's energy can feel maddening. It's so confusing. It can bring us into spaces of very deep depression, a lot of confusion, really deep grief. And it can also be such an exalting and blissful kind of substance to encounter. The ways that Neptunian, Piscean energy make what is real unreal, or help us expand our awareness of how energy is constantly moving and changing, that brings us into a kind of unity consciousness. It helps us connect to the oneness of the energetic realms in the ways that even though we are here in very different bodies and a lot of sensations of separation, we are also here as part of the same stuff of creation. And there will be times and there will be moments when we are able to access this. And so we open up into Neptunian consciousness when we engage with the kinds of meditation that seek to connect to unity consciousness. In your 2024 overview, I gave you a heart connection practice. And in that heart connection practice, I asked you to breathe with life, the continuity of life. And I think that a lot of people, when they breathe in this way, they become calmed, they feel soothed, they feel held, they feel healed in some way. And those are Neptunian gifts. Experiencing unity consciousness is experiencing bliss. It's experiencing love. It's experiencing profound safety. People talk about safe space and stuff like that. And in human-created spaces and in terrestrial space, no space is entirely safe, right? Absolutely not. But in Neptunian space, which is spiritual space, there's always safety. Your soul is a safe space. It's a safe connection. Your spirit moves beyond time and space. And so connecting with Neptune connects us with those kinds of frequencies. However, those kinds of frequencies are not the status quo of reality in 2024, quote unquote reality. And the eighth house being a place that has to do with intimacy and psychology and shared resources is a place where we can really encounter quite a bit of trouble when we merge and mesh with other people. Enmeshment is a key word for the eighth house, and Pisces too. And Leo, though Leo is a fire sign, though Leo is a sign that is here to self-actualize, that is often very individualistic in some ways or differentiated, and people use words like leadership or courage when they talk about Leo. But Leo is really sensitive. So sensitive. And if we think about one of the archetypes of Leo being, a charismatic kind of actor or something like that, a person who takes the stage, actors have to be so sensitive. They have to be able to become who they are not. They have to be able to read the vibe of the entire room, right? And respond in ways that are really subtle. They have to also be able to project and extend their energy into the hearts of others. They have to be able to exude and emanate into the space. Now, any Leo-identified person does that. Leo people are incredibly sensitive. And part of the capacity of being charismatic is the capacity to read the room. Your little spidey senses are out there scanning in a million directions, and you can feel what people want, what they don't want, what they're going to respond to, what they're not going to respond to. And enmeshment is something that can happen to everybody, but Leos have a particular style of it. And a lot of times the style has to do with being responsible to others. In Capricorn season, I talked about Leo as an energy that is highly responsible and a really hard worker. And one of the ways that you will go into responsibility drive and hardworking drive is when you feel responsible to others, responsible to helping them, to upholding something or something like that. Leo, another key word for Leo is loyal. Now, loyalty is definitely a virtue sometimes, but other times it is a liability. Leos can stay loyal to relationships and relational dynamics for a long time after those relationships or dynamics have run their course. And a lot of times this loyalty is actually rooted very deeply in sensitivity and enmeshment, a feeling of taking responsibility for other people's feelings. Any of that resonate for you? So since 2011, Neptune has been transiting Pisces, and in 2025, it is going to move into Aries. So we know that we are at the end of a significant phase in your life, that the last 13, 14 years or so have had you working the curriculum of sensitivity and enmeshment in your relationships. In this period of time, you have needed to get to know the ways that you get enmeshed, how you lose yourself, how you abandon yourself. You have needed to get to know your sensitivities and how your nervous system and perceptual senses scan the room right? How you might extend out in your spidey sense awareness. And in that, again, how you abandon yourself. You have needed to really pay attention to how you have fantasized and wished and dreamed for perfect relationships and your longings for communion and love sometimes have not been grounded in the reality of who you are or who somebody else is. And you have been in some relational dynamics that have been 100% anchored in potential, right? And potential is not what's actually happening. It is fiction. Now, Saturn has been in this place as well for about the last year. Saturn entered Pisces last March. And Saturn's influence is very different than Neptune's. What Saturn does is it hardens and congeals. It creates boundaries. And part of how it creates boundaries is by presenting challenges. When we are challenged by something, then we have to fortify ourselves in the face of that challenge. And that is what Saturn demands. So over the last year, I think a lot of you have been becoming much more aware of your patterns of enmeshment, codependency, like neediness, addictiveness in relationships, where you get untethered, ungrounded, where you lose yourself, where you abandon yourself, where your spidey sensitivities just lead you down into a no man's land of never returning again. Saturn is here to help you put some containment and boundaries around your emotional permeability, and particularly the permeability of emotional space in relationship, in shared dynamics. When it comes to shared resources, time, space, money, and power, both Saturn and Neptune are working together right now to help you in this project of relational growth that I have been talking about throughout your 2024 readings. So in the overview that I gave you, this was such a big theme. And over the course of the last couple of seasons, I've been talking about this in multiple ways. And so, Leo, you are really trying to grow into some new directions. And these new directions are totally about having different kinds of relationships. You want to transform power in relationships. You want to feel the power of collaboration. I think that you are well aware that when people come together, there is a very different kind of power than when people are working solo. I don't think you want to work solo right now, which doesn't mean that you want to be enmeshed at all. I think that you want the kinds of relationships and collaborations that will allow you to be an individual, to have your own little space and place, to explore your own goals, to give your gifts, right? To express your authenticity and uniqueness. But I think that you want to bring yourself into spaces of collaboration and community, maybe family or friendship, in ways that allow you to be yourself, but also allow you to combine power with others, to work effectively and skillfully in relational dynamics. And so we need both Neptune and Saturn helping us out this year, and good thing we've got them. So Neptune is helping you be sensitive. It is helping you become aware of your sensitivities. It is helping you become attuned to your sensitivities. There are subtle fluctuations of energy happening all the time, and it is really important that you become attuned and aware so that you can track what's happening for yourself and for others. Neptune is an ally in that work. It is important in 2024 that you are practicing compassion. There's so much suffering. There's so much need. It is important that you allow your heart to be touched. If you don't, you can't contribute to the change that this world needs right now. But if you are overwhelmed and drowning in your empathy for everybody, and if it is compelling you to go out and try and be everybody's savior, and you feel responsible for helping anyone who's having a hard time, then we've lost you, right? You can't save everybody. There's wisdom to what they tell you on the airplane to put your own oxygen mask on before you help somebody else. If you're drowning, how are you going to help somebody else swim? So we need Saturn. We need boundaries. We need containment. We need maybe some rules. We need clear agreements. We need structure, especially when it comes to what we're sharing. If you're sharing money, you need to be able to talk about money in a very clear way. If you're sharing time and space, you need to be able to also have some boundaries so that you can get some alone time and space. If you're sharing time and space, you need to be able to be perceptive and sensitive to those who you are sharing time and space with. And you also need to be perceptive and sensitive to yourself and the impact that you have on the space through your own vibe and emotional, you know, subtext. And then we need you to be able to contain yourself, to hold yourself. So when you feel like somebody else's weird, funky energy over there, we don't need you feeling pissed off and shut down and like they're just, you know, completely intruding on your vibe. We also don't need you running over to be like, what's wrong? Oh my God, can I help you? We need you registering to yourself that you are perceiving an energetic fluctuation. That person over there is going through a thing. We don't need you to psychoanalyze them or make up the story about why. We need you to affirm that you are having a feeling, that this feeling is giving you information, and then we need you to make a skillful choice about what you want to do with that information. That person is having a funky moment. What's the relationship right now? Is it in the highest good of all involved for you to engage that funky feeling? Or would it be better for you to stay in your own lane at the moment? How do you work with your own energy right now? If they're feeling funky and now you're feeling funky, now we have a lot of funk. If you can hold yourself in a conscious container, be like, okay, they have some funk, doesn't need to be my funk. That's work, okay? It's labor. It's not easy. How do you care for yourself? Radical responsibility. Does the work of embodied astrology speak to you? Did you know that you can become a member? The EA monthly membership provides unlimited access to my weekly somatic space classes, where we work through gentle healing movement and meditation practices, aligning our minds, bodies, hearts, and spirits with the highest potentials of current astral energy. Memberships also include tea time gatherings once a month, where we debrief current astro together, share our lived experiences, and support one another through the seasons. Our basic membership also includes access to our private virtual community, peer-led study groups and affinity spaces, and a video and audio library with guided meditations and gentle movement practices. Learn more at embodiedastrology.com/join. I'm also thrilled to announce that our 2024 and 2025 workshop and event programming at Embodied Astrology is now open for registration. Our new program begins with the vernal equinox and astrological new year. This year, we're interested in mobilizing our platform and community towards more active engagement with the work of world making. We're asking questions about revolution and transformation. We're using astrology to imagine, locate, and remember forms of power rooted in care and connection. We're holding space for what is and what can be, with grief-tending circles, queer time expansion experiments, planetary devotional practices, conflict mapping with constellation work, and embodied astral support. We hope you'll join us for some or all of our offerings. We have a full moon on February 24th. The full moon is in Virgo, Pisces' opposite sign. Virgo is the sign that comes after yours. It holds your solar second house of personal possessions. This is a place that has a lot to do with money and resources, and it's also a place that has a lot to do with your self-confidence and sense of inner security. The sun during this full moon is conjunct with Saturn. The full moon is aspecting Jupiter in Taurus. This is a powerful full moon for having intimate and intricate, that means complex, conversations with the people who you are trying to move forward with. If you need to talk about money, talk about money. If you need to talk about power, talk about power, right? Do the work of getting into the stuff that's already here, but is subtle and pervasive and emotional and vibey. Bring it into consciousness. For those of you that are not experiencing the relational concerns so much at this time, and plenty of you won't be, then this is a time for you to do your own work, definitely around money, resource, possession, security, insecurity, and confidence. This is a time for you to work skillfully with your own sensitivity and all that you can project into the unknown space of unknown relationship so that you can feel in right relationship with your own power. You are trying to grow in some new directions right now, and we need you feeling anchored in your stable attachment to the earth, to the source, right? If you are thinking about resource at this time, know that there is infinite source all around you and inside of you, and that source is creation itself. You want to move and act and respond in ways that connect you with creation right now, that tie you with creation. You want to feel that you are investing in and supported by creation. And that means that you want to feel relational. You want to feel available for what relationships need. And relationships are quite intricate terrain. A few days after the full moon on February 28th, we have a triple conjunction of Mercury, the Sun, and Saturn in Pisces. This is a really powerful symbol of you clarifying boundaries and having conversations that need to happen. In Capricorn season, I talked to you about the Mercury Kazemi right on the first day of Capricorn season. And so the February 28th event, we have a double Kazemi, Mercury and Saturn Kazemi in the heart of the sun. Now Mercury is traveling direct and it is on the far side of the sun. Back in Capricorn season, I talked about the inferior conjunction when Mercury is close to Earth being a time when a new idea gets sparked, but we don't really know yet what the idea is about. That was a few months ago at this point. That was 3 months ago. And so now we have this superior conjunction and Mercury, the symbol of cognition, perception, intelligence, and awareness, has perspective. You have hindsight and foresight. You have a plan in place. And to go back to some of the themes of that last Kazemi, you want to realize some new kind of idea for your life. You have been making moves in those directions. And at the end of February, there is a need for you to consolidate your resources in a particular way and make some moves in this new direction. And when I say consolidate your resources, I mean that. I mean, what are your containers? What are your practices? What are your agreements? If you are sharing resources, you really need to have the conversations right now. This is a period of time that is asking you for clear and conscious boundaries. It is asking you to uphold your dignity and self-respect. It is demanding that you practice true self-care and self-love, which is not narcissistic. It is actually the work that we need to do to be accountable to others. If we are not caring for ourselves and loving ourselves, we cannot be accountable in relationships. We will be defensive and avoidant and reactive. We'll be egotistical. So doing the work of caring for your heart, right, of forgiving yourself when you fail, but also really committing to the learning of those failures, that allows you to be accountable in your relationships. And this is what Pisces season is really asking you for: maturation and accountability. As we move into the month of March, there are lots of aspects and conversations happening between the personal planets and the outer planets, and especially between the placements of Pisces and Taurus in your chart. So there's a feeling here that you are moving in some new directions, important new directions. You are trying to grow something in your life. You are trying to be someone in some ways. Some of you are thinking about your legacy. You are thinking about what you are leaving for others, what you are passing on, what you are gifting and giving. Some of you are thinking about what you are inheriting and what you are sharing and what you are doing with the resources that you have been given. Some of you are thinking about collaboration. How do we work together so that we can realize what's new? And some of you are deeply working with your own psyche and psychology so that you can fortify yourself where you need strength, and you can soften and relax where you have been rigid. We want you to go in some new directions, and this is tender terrain, and we need you to be working with both sensitivity and responsibility. We need you to be accountable to yourself and to others. And in order to do that, we need you to be curious. We need you to be willing to investigate what is happening. How are you feeling? It's hard for you a lot of the time to figure out what you're feeling. From the new moon in Pisces on March 10th until the Sun-Neptune conjunction on March 17th, it is really important that you are curious about how you are feeling. Take your time to be with your feelings, especially this week, March 10th through the 17th. Take your time to be with your feelings. Investigate them. Get some blank pieces of paper, get your journal or your sketchbook out, and try and feel your feelings in different ways. What are the energetic qualities of your feelings? What are the meaning-making components of your feelings? What stories do they tell? What are the behavioral qualities of your feelings? Who do you become when you feel these feelings? What do they make you do? What are the bodily sensations of these feelings? How do you track them in your somatic awareness? Imagine your feelings. What are you feeling right now? Get really curious about it. Get especially curious when there are themes coming up around sex, death, money, and power. Those are the eighth house issues. Shared resources. Get super curious about anything that feels like a charge, that feels kind of triggered or like trauma is here. Don't avoid, don't repress, don't try and get away from it. Don't go on with the show, right? We don't need you disassociating. We don't need you acting like nothing is wrong. We need you to be present with the feelings so that you can process them, so that you can move forward. This is also a very deeply spiritual feeling kind of time. There is a lot of numinous, subtle substance here. Feelings of love and longing and connection in ineffable ways are here. There is so much support for you in the ancestral realms right now. And a lot of the feelings that you're feeling might be feelings that your ancestors have felt or that you have felt in relationship to them. There may be feelings that you're feeling that are not even really about the person or the experience that's coming up, but it's like way bigger than that. This is an opportunity for you to work with your soul. Do some inner child retrieval work, soul retrieval work. When was the first time you remember feeling these feelings? Go all the way back in your memory. How young were you? Go back and visit yourself then in your imagination. Ask yourself at that age what these feelings are about. What did the little you need with these feelings? These feelings might connect you to the more spiritual or subtle interconnections in the world across time and space. Connect with them. If you're having feelings about the world right now, and there are so many feelings to have, there are so many reasons to grieve, there is a lot of loss, then let those feelings extend you out. Give time and space for grieving practices. Give time and space for spirit practices, for subtle practices. The month of March is asking you to slow down and be subtle. And trust that it is through your subtle attention and deep inner inquiry that you will be making the next best steps in the direction that you want to go and grow. Because a lot of you are working to liberate yourself in some way. You're working to do something new. And in order to do something new, you got to be with the feelings that are here. If you ignore them and try and turn away from them, you're not going to do anything new. You're going to be compelled by your unconscious patterns. And whatever is held in a suppressed, repressed place is still trying to get known. And usually those suppressed, repressed parts of ourselves have their own habits and patterns. They'll try and be known in a lot of different ways, but probably in iterative and repetitive ways. Slow down. Be with what is. Be with your feelings. Be with the subtle sense. Be with the spiritual and energetic dimensions of what you are feeling. And let that lead you out and into the world and your next steps. If what you heard in this season's horoscope resonates, you'll definitely want to check out your year ahead. These annual readings are epic offerings and the results of over 2 months of research and preparation with this year's astrology. They're ready for download now, and they include an hour-long intuitive divination and channeled reading for your sign, along with an additional overview exploring key dates and timing for 2024's astrology, with suggestions for working with this year's main themes, opportunities, and challenges through embodied energetic awareness practices. Get yours today through the sliding scale purchase link in our show notes or visit the horoscope section at embodiedastrology.com. Thanks so much for tuning in with Embodied Astrology. This work wouldn't exist without a team. Big thanks to Alicia Mauji, Joe Stewart, Ash Good, Ariana Sears-Putowski, and Gabs404 for making it all happen with me, Renee Sills. As Pluto moves into Aquarius, one of the main things to remember is that teamwork makes our dreams work. In the spirit of community and collaboration, Embodied Astrology is in an active transition to becoming a collective multi-voice platform. This year, I've invited 4 facilitators with whom I've been working for the last several years to join me as core faculty in co-visioning and co-creating an exciting, innovative, and totally unique astrological studies program. Sherry Taylor, Junata Petrus, Ramon Parrish, Gabs404, and I are interested in how astrology can assist us in realizing embodied healing, radical imagination, and creative collective liberation. We're inviting you to join us in our explorations in small or big ways. Our full program will be an immersive and life-transforming experience that takes place over the course of 16 months. And most of our offerings also have opportunities to drop in for one or just a few sessions. For more information and to sign up, check the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com.